Welcome to the NikkiOquayPodcast.com. And thank you very much for subscribing and downloading our most unique and most powerful material till date, The Entrepreneur Advisor by Nikki Okoye. Entrepreneur Advisor is one of our series of exceptional, content-filled, empowering, and exhilarating podcasts designed and produced for the 21st century entrepreneur and business executive wherever they may be on the globe. Dr. Nikki Okoye, our anchor, is a serial entrepreneur, experienced business executive, and a 30-year veteran of building businesses and funding projects. He has also advised heads of states, presidents, and heads of global conglomerates on three different continents of the world, including North America, Europe, and Africa. His efforts at leading a venture from startup conception stage to billion-dollar status in less than 18 months is legendary. The Entrepreneur Advisor podcast series provides our listeners with extensive insight into the latest 21st century strategies for business development, investment capital aggregation, and global market penetration. In addition, Nikki Okoye tackles the most pertinent issues while providing tactical insight as well as strategic solutions for building sustainable enterprises over the long term. Let's sit back and listen to Dr. Okoye. If you wish to engage Dr. Nikki directly, you can follow him at Nikki Okoye on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Again, that's NikkyOkoye on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook.
Hi, this is Entrepreneur Advisor, episode 10, Nikki Okoye, coming to you in the midst of a coronavirus catastrophe. All across the world, nations are shut down. Over 199 countries have gotten the virus. And, you know, it's really devastating economies. I want to talk about the economic impact of COVID-19, which is the name given to the virus, COVID in 2019. So 19 represents that it started in November of 2019 in a town called Wuhan in China. And well, that's the popular belief story for now. We are hearing all kinds of other conspiracy theories. So the popular story for now, which the world has accepted, maybe later it might change, is that Wuhan, China was the epicenter of this particular virus, which has now metamorphosized into a pandemic, a global pandemic. It's devastating economies, especially in Italy. Italy is going through the worst phase of this virus. And then Spain is catching up as well. The death rate in Italy and Spain is unbelievable. And just 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the press getting carried away with reporting on this virus. And now, 2 weeks later, it is almost as if the sky is falling. The United States, as of today, there's over 100,500 cases, confirmed cases of the coronavirus in the United States, and it is growing. And the only reason why I think it's still at 100,000 is because not everybody is getting tested. So facilities in New York, for instance, are overwhelmed. New York is currently the epicenter of the virus attack for the United States, which means it is the epicenter for the world now, because the United States has overtaken China, Italy, Spain, and Korea in terms of confirmed cases. And the death rate in the United States is beginning to rise. So we expecting some very sobering casualty figures coming out of there. And then we are hearing that New Orleans had a festival a few weeks ago. Nobody observed social distancing. People obviously didn't take the virus seriously, maybe because the leadership of the United States, and I'm referring to President Trump, didn't really take it as seriously as he should up until the last minute. So the virus has spread in New Orleans and the numbers are beginning to show up. And the UK had the same challenge. Leadership in the UK, Boris Johnson, didn't take the virus seriously in the beginning. In fact, he came up with a strategy he called herd immunity, where he wanted everybody to get it. And when everybody gets it, there'll be an immunity spread across the entire population, which is what he calls the herd immunity. Unfortunately, for the herd immunity strategy, is that 80% of the folks who get it will recover. We know that. But about 20% will get quite sick. And those folks who are sick are going to put tremendous amount of pressure and strain on the medical facilities in the country. And that is what we are seeing happening in Italy and Spain and France, and to a lesser extent in Korea. And it is now happening in New York. In fact, Queensborough in New York, the doctors are completely overwhelmed. They're working 18-hour shifts and it's a crisis. So the herd immunity strategy, it didn't work, or rather he didn't see it through, because he changed strategy almost in the middle of his herd immunity strategy. And then all of a sudden, the UK is shooting up in numbers. People are getting sick. Facilities are getting overwhelmed. And funny enough, the Prime Minister himself tests positive for the coronavirus. So he now gets it. Prince Charles tests positive, so Prince Charles gets it. And then the health minister in the UK also gets the virus. And so the UK is in a catastrophe in terms of its leadership getting this virus. And we're hoping that they're going to have the mild form of the virus attack in terms of the part of the 80% that recovers. Now, if any of these leaders go into the 20% that gets really sick, and out of that 20% that gets sick, we know that about 10% of the 20% will expire. And we know that 10% of the 20% die. And that pretty much means 2% of the folks who get the entire disease. So out of every 100, you're looking at 1 to 2 people that may die. And that 1 to 2 comes from 20 who are seriously ill. So you got people who get seriously ill, then you get the people who get chronically ill. So that's what the world is going through at this time. And so it's a very challenging time for businesses. And this is the Entrepreneur Advisor. And so what I want to do in this particular episode is to talk about the challenges that businesses are facing in different sectors during this crisis, which I think is going to last for at least 2 to 3 months. So I'm looking at the crisis 2 to 3 extra months, because the crisis started in November. So China was the epicenter. China pretty much locked down Wuhan and the entire province. And then the rest of the world started catching it in February, January, late January, and then February. And so by March, we're looking at the virus peaking in some parts of Europe, and the US is expecting it to peak in April. So I expect we're gonna have April, May, perhaps all the way up to June, which means this entire 2020 is going to see the world fall into a recession. So the world is gonna go into a recession, no question about it. Some of the African countries are going to be more hurt, because we are resource-based countries, and some of those countries, especially Nigeria, is going to have a major challenge, because in addition to the virus, and the virus has put a lot of pressure on the demand for oil. Nigeria is a monoproduct economy, so depend almost exclusively on oil for our foreign earnings. Now, the oil market is experiencing its own challenges, because Russia and Saudi Arabia went into this price war after the OPEC meeting 2-3 weeks ago. And since then, the price of oil has been falling, because Saudi Arabia just started discounting the oil they were selling by almost $8 to $10. And Russia said, okay, we're going to pump oil as well. And so when you pump so much oil in a market where the demand has almost disappeared, because for the first 3 months of this year, China, that is doing most of the buying, has not been producing due to the virus. So the demand for oil, you know, kind of slowed down this first quarter of 2020. And it's going to keep slowing down, or it's going to remain, you know, poor for the second quarter of 2020. So what that means is that there's no demand, there's no excessive demand for the oil. And without the excessive demand for the oil, it means the price already has a challenge. And then you couple that to the crisis of the Saudi Arabia and the Russian price war, oil has fallen below $30. It's currently at about $22. And for a few days, the other day, it was bouncing between $20 and $19 and then back up to $22. So that's a crisis for Nigeria and for any country that depends on oil. Then you have the challenge of slowing down. So every country is currently advocating and implementing social distancing rules. And part of the social distancing rules is a total lockdown of the movement of people. And lockdown of movement is to try to stop the spread of the virus. But the overriding implications of lockdown is that the economy is almost grinding to a halt. And this, I'm talking about the global economy. So for instance, all the restaurants are closed. All the meetings are canceled and banned. Church meetings, business meetings, training meetings, whatever meetings you're talking about, you can't have them anymore. So the National Restaurant Association in the United States alone wrote to the U.S. Congress when the U.S. Congress was putting together a stimulus bill. By the way, they just passed a $2.2 trillion stimulus package for the United States, and that includes $500 billion going directly to bail out businesses. It includes $1,200 check, which is going to individuals. If you've been paying tax in America, you're probably going to get a check. And then $500 for every child you have, and so on. And so this is pretty much printing money. They're printing money to pump it into the economy in order to shore things up. But it's not going to stop us from going into a recession. The recession is built on the back of demand and supply, and demand has evaporated. Like I said, the National Restaurant Association wrote to Congress and they said that they are going to lose about $225 billion over the next 3 months in revenue. And they're going to lose about 5 to 7 million jobs. I don't know about you, but I don't think that a lot of those jobs are not going to come back after the crisis. And then you're talking about the airline industry. Almost every airline is grounded. Nobody is flying. All the airports across the entire world are closed down. The airline industry represents about 10 million jobs in the United States. 10 million jobs. And so with all these folks not flying, nobody's buying any tickets, nobody's traveling anywhere. And you know, the airline industry has a value chain. So it's not just about the direct jobs of pilots and air hostesses, people who clean and maintain the plane and so on and so forth. There is a spillover value chain. The folks who prepare the food that are sold or fed to passengers on the airline. There are folks who are in the other aspects of cleaning of the plane, the reagents used to clean the plane, the catering that is done on the plane, the cosmetics, the shopping that is done on the plane, all kinds of, the folks in the airports, for instance, and all the things that goes on in the airports, all part of this airline aviation value chain. And all that, all those jobs are at risk, and all those businesses are closed at the moment. And then you got the hotel industry, which is also a value chain of the airline industry, which is part and parcel of the travel and tourism industry. Hotels are all closed. Nobody even wants any guests right now anymore because the guests might be coming with a virus. But it means once they're closed, there's no revenue, which means they can't keep their staff on payroll, which means they're going to lay people off and remain closed until this crisis is over. But that also goes for the retail industry. The retail shops are also closed. A lot of the retail shops are closed, except the ones that are selling food. So most governments are allowing food and medicine. So food and pharmacies to stay open. But regular retail, electronics, what have you, any other thing that they're selling, it's not going to be allowed. It's not allowed at this point in time. The folks who are running cruise lines are the worst hit In fact, they were the first folks to show where the virus started showing up after China, you know, started showing up on cruise lines. So that is clearly off the table for the next few months. Then you have the apparel industry, the folks in the fashion and clothes. Nobody's thinking about buying clothes right now when you're on lockdown, you can't go anywhere. You're probably gonna be wearing your pajamas for a few days. So, and then there's no parties to attend, there's no weddings to attend, there's no conferences, there's no meetings, and so you don't need clothes. So the apparel industry is gonna take a huge hit. And then the concerts and entertainment, nobody's doing any gathering, remember? So there's no meetings, there's no gatherings, concerts are out of the question at this time. So the folks in the music and entertainment industry are gonna be hit. They're not gonna get any calls, they're not gonna get any hirings for concerts or shows. Automobile, I don't think anybody's gonna be buying any new cars anytime soon, maybe at least for the next 2 to 3 months. And that also means spare parts, because folks are not going anywhere, everybody's at home. So the wear and tear on the car is less, which means there's no demand for maintenance. So that industry is gonna get hit. Conferences and conventions, out of the question, nobody's going anywhere. All the conferences and conventions for April, May, and June have been either canceled or postponed. The Olympics has been postponed to next year. And that has happened for every conference. And so a lot of conferences have moved to September. We'll see whether September can still hold up. Then the gaming industry, Las Vegas is on shutdown. Everybody that is doing gaming, gambling, the last thing you want to do during a pandemic is to go and gamble your money. So even the gambling that is done online or the gambling that is done by proxy is going to take a hit. And then, of course, education. Schools are closed. Primary, secondary, university, all levels of education are out of the question at this time. If you have tenure, then you're okay because the school will keep paying you. But if you operate, you know, the private education models where you're doing seminars or trainings, then you can't earn any money because those meetings and those trainings are out of the question. Because people are staying at home, again, there's no transportation, buses are not gonna earn money. A lot of bus companies have actually shut down, and it is a challenge. So we're going through this serious challenge. There are a few places where we can expect some growth. So some industries will do well during this period. One of them is the healthcare industry and the pharmaceutical industry. Those will continue to sell and they will continue to do well. So if you are in those industries, then bravo. But you know, these things cannot be predicted. It all depends on situations. You are in a specific industry and we have a challenge, which is a global challenge. You just happen to be in the industry that would do well. Another industry that is going to do well, or will continue to do well rather, is the food industry. Not restaurants, because nobody is coming to a restaurant to sit down. But, you know, if you're selling food that people can cook at home, so food markets, every country and every city is allowing their food markets to remain open, or people can have access to the food through ordering food or to go to specific markets and, you know, operate or organize themselves in a social distancing formula to make sure that nobody gives anybody the virus. Some restaurants are doing takeout orders. They're trying to stay afloat using that strategy, and that might work to a certain extent. The telecommunications industry will do well. Everybody's going to be at home, which means they need access to data, they need the internet, they need to watch movies, they need entertainment that comes into the home. So those guys are going to do very well. And then the other aspects, you know, people who are in the water industry, everybody's gonna need water, you're gonna just keep buying water, so on. And so those are the industries that will continue to operate in this crisis period. I wanted us to have a fair idea of where the world is going in terms of the COVID-19 crisis. After the crisis, there will be huge opportunities, but let us see what happens during the crisis. Let's hope that everybody stays safe out there. If you are hunkered down at your home, get a book and read the book, you know, watch a few movies, some of the old movies that you've kept over the years that you've been telling yourself you're going to watch. If you have box sets are great. Netflix is going to make out like a bandit during this period. Everybody is ordering Netflix. Maybe you should do some projects, work from home, some of those projects that you haven't gotten yourself around to, or maybe you should write a book. I'm working on my book. And then, you know, use this period as productive as possible. But stay away from large crowds. No government is allowing any large crowd now anyway. But stay away from large crowds. The crisis will soon be over. There's certain treatments that are being tested in different parts of the world, and some of them have some relative form of success. There are about 60 different laboratories that are working on a possible vaccine. So the whole world is coming together on this, and I trust our scientists. I trust our technology folks. They are going to crack this. And so we will be back up and running in no time. Stay safe, folks. This is Nikki Okoye. Follow me at Nikki Okoye on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Thank you very much.
Thank you.